Hello and welcome, everyone. You are listening to The Crack. This is the podcast where I ask you, what's the crack? And saying that out loud, I'm sure it was last week I said I was going to change that intro, because I want to change it. So how are you getting on? Are you well? Hope you're good. I'm trying to do one of these a week, stay on top of it, and I think I'm pushing it for this week, but the week's not over yet. So if I get this done and dusted and uploaded tonight, I'm still on track. 3 weeks out of the year, 3 out of 3 so far. Fingers crossed, probably a power cut or, you know, I don't know, pipe will burst in the ceiling and I'll land on the computer. Just something will get in the way and cause me not to be able to upload this. But as I am, I'm on track. 3 out of 3. Okay, so what's going on? How are you? How are you getting on out there? Are you staying cozy? Staying warm. Yeah, we've had some snow up here. I don't know how it is where you are, but it's like we're under a giant duvet up here. Yeah, it's plenty of snow, plenty of cold, and today it's all, you know, melty and gross, and you know when they grit the sidewalk, you know, they grit the pavement and they use that brown salt. Yeah, well, they've done that and it started to melt. So now we've got the brown shitty sludge. And earlier on today, myself and Charlotte, we took the wee dog for a walk. Took a lovely walk all the way to Morrison's to buy some groceries. Got some milk because we're just back from Bruges. Yeah, that's right. We were away. We had a few nights away and it was absolutely lovely. And we came back to this. So you know, you go away for a little while, have a lovely time, come home. Not going to say snowed in, but we could see our breath this morning in the bedroom, you know. I'm not going to say we're, you know, oh, it's just, it's like a Charles Dickens poverty, you know, it's, we're so poor. Can't say you go away for a few nights and then come back and, oh, we have no money. No, we clearly prioritise spending money on going away rather than heating the flat effectively, which I think may be a poor thing, but not at the moment. So yeah, that's what's been going on with me. Went to Bruges, which is in Belgium, if you've never heard of it. It's a medieval, I was going to say town, I think it's a city. Medieval city. We didn't take any tours or go to any museums, so I don't know a lot about it, to be honest. I just know it looks nice, and I would go back. So I think that's me done. Yeah, so I was in Bruges, guys. There you go. Thank you very much for listening. No, I'll tell you about it. I will tell you about it because it was fun. It's a bit of a way up in the north. And we got the Eurostar to Belgium, which, if you don't know what the Eurostar is, 30 years ago this year, they happened to make a tunnel from England to France. And not to burst any bubbles, but yes, it goes under the water, but it's not like you're in a glass tunnel where you can, you know, you can't see. There's no sharks, fish. You know, it's, it goes under the seabed, the English Channel bed. You know, you're right under the ground, big tunnel. And to get down to there, you have to obviously be in London to get down to the tunnel. It goes from St. Pancras Station, not St. Pancras, as Charlotte pointed out, I was mispronouncing it. But yeah. Yeah, you jump on a train, and then just like any other train, it sort of well, it doesn't do that. It's not a steam train. Choo-choo train. Fucking hell. Me and my little playset. It's not a steam train. So there's no But yeah, you just sit on the chair, you know, there's no seatbelts, there's no, please pay attention to the cabin staff. They point to the exits. Nothing like that. You just sit down and then start moving. You see some of England. Tunnel. England. Tunnel. England. Tunnel, England, long tunnel, and then you're in France, you know, simple as that. There's no announcement, there's no ding ding, you've just left the UK. No, so to get down there, so we live away up in the north, and we had to get to London, so we went to Inverness Airport, and we got a very early flight down to Gatwick, very early, too early. And then from Gatwick, you can get a train into Victoria Station in London. So we did that. So proper planes, trains, and automobiles. We were quite savvy, you know, for us country bumpkins. Got to Victoria Station, got the tube, got to St. Pancras, or well, it's King's Cross, sorry, you know. It's where Harry Potter went from, isn't it? We actually went to find the, you know, in the film, when they go to platform 9 3/4, they have to run through like a brick, well, it's a wall, but it's, there you go. So the station, they have to run through it. In King's Cross Station, there's a trolley that's been stuck into the wall. Excuse me, just yawned. I let some of that out so you don't have to hear me yawn. Yeah, so they've like welded a trolley handle to the wall so you can go and get your photograph taken of you being like, I'm going to Hogwarts. I'm only in my 30s, but I'm going to Hogwarts. You turn up at any other boarding school in your 30s and you're going to have someone asking you questions. Yeah, so we went to find that and we thought maybe it's not around here. And then these two members of staff were at a Harry Potter show. They all walked past it. And I was like, there must be something. And then we noticed this massive crowd and a huge queue. It's over there. So no photograph of us playfully skipping through the platform to the Hogwarts Express. That's King's Cross. And across the road from that is St. Pancras Station. That's where you get the Eurostar from. Yeah, so we had a day in London because we left so early from Inverness. We got in and it was like we had a day in London and we had no plans. So we went and found the hotel. Oh, it's my neighbours arriving. I'm assuming you can hear that. Feel the rumble. Yes, very large exhaust. And we went and found the hotel. Got to check in early. Very kind of them. The guy said, normally it's £15. There was a pause. And I was just going to say, alright, I'll leave it then. I'll wait. Not paying £15. They didn't charge us. So, thank you. That was nice. very good of you, sir. Thank you. We got to our room. That's the only... Now, we only needed it for one night. It wasn't even a night because we had to get up at like 4 o'clock. So we only needed it for a bed for a few hours. But it's the only hotel room I've ever stayed in with no window. Because it was that small. You open the door opened fully, in fairness to it. But behind the door, there was like a strap against the wall. And behind that strap, there was a chair. So I folded up, you know, like in wrestling. They fold the chair up, one of those metal chairs. So the door would open full, you close the door, if you wanted you could take this chair out from behind the strap, unfold it, put it beside the bed, or it sort of looked like you're like a therapist or something, just sitting beside the bed, because the bed took up the whole room. There was no space. They jammed everything into this room they possibly could. It's very nifty, very well done. But I just thought it was worth pointing out how cramped it was, but honestly for the budget, for the location, for the fact we weren't there to stay in the hotel, it was absolutely fine. Yeah, so we checked in, got our stuff there, went wandering, found the tube station again, just bobbed into central London. I don't know where we came out in London, I can't remember what we did first, but everything's quite close together, if that makes sense. All the touristy shit. So Charlotte wanted to go and see Buckingham Palace, where the Queen lives, where the fucking King lives, and I'd been down at the end of October to visit my friend, and he'd taken me there, so was that the tube station? No, we got out on Oxford Street, or Oxford Circus, whatever it was called, because Charlotte needed to go and find a belt, because she hadn't packed a belt, so we're on Oxford Street, went to H&M, she got that, and then we decided, right, let's go find Buckingham Palace, so we just walked, and I don't know, 10 minutes, which isn't far in the grand scheme of things. We found a park, walked through the park, and there was Buckingham Palace. And it was heaving, you know, it's fucking tourist central. There was no big parades on, you know, you've got set times to see all the guards doing their thing, the ones with the big black hats and all that stuff. There's proper names for this, but I'm a very bad tourist sightseer, so I don't read the plaques. But palace guards, they do a special ceremony every day, or at certain points, or they march around and I don't know, change shifts. We don't do that at my work, at the shift changeover. Maybe we should adopt that. Yeah, the day shift is now starting. Yeah, so. And then after Buckingham Palace, there's a wee park just across. If a wee, it's a massive park across from it. And there's pelicans down there. Scary, massive, big fucking dinosaur birds. So when I saw them for a wee bit, walked along, kept going, and then you come out the park the other end and you're at like the war. Not like, you know, where Winston Churchill was. Yeah, we're fucking fighting them in the beaches, we're fighting, you know, it's where he pushed the little things across the big maps and things. I was like, yeah, sending the infantry here. There's probably more to it than that, but you know, when they fought the war, that's where they were doing it. And I imagine it's still used as some sort of Ministry of Defence thing. But right along from there is Big Ben and the Houses of Parliament and the Westminster Abbey, the church where the Queen had her funeral, or the cathedral, I don't know what it, Westminster Abbey. You see it on TV when the, I'm not into the Royal Family, guys, I don't know, I don't really take in. It's a very famous one. I think it's where they're all buried, you know, they're in crypts and things. I'm assuming that's where the coffin was when people queued up for like 2 days to go and look at it. Do you think she was really in there? Was she really in that coffin when they had folk looking at it, or was that just an empty box? What do you think? Was the fucking Queen just propped up? Was just that? Was there a corpse in that box that folk were staring at? Anyway, so we saw Big Ben and it did its bong, 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 did all the bongs and things like that, and then we took a wander down to. Where the fuck did we go after that? I don't know. No, Trafalgar Square? No. Didn't see Trafalgar Square. I walked through Savile Row. But I have a suit, so I didn't buy a 4 grand suit. Yeah. Then, what's that big thing called? Piccadilly Circus. Went there. Charlotte took me to a place called M&M World, which is a fucking bizarre concept. The sweeties, M&M, have got this massive shop. Because it's a thing. It's the sweets, M&M. People go nuts for them. They go nuts for M&M. Yeah. But it's, I didn't know the fucking chocolate had become such a thing. It's got like, do you remember the adverts where there's the characters? They've got like merchandise. I say merchandise. They've got these massive stores. And you can go in and you can buy all kinds of crazy. I wandered around Piccadilly Circus, saw the adverts, went through Chinatown. I didn't get a Chinese, guys. I did not get a Chinese. I'll get a Chinese tonight, though. And and then, I don't know, we just sort of farted about. We weren't on holiday to go to London. We just had a day to burn in a very expensive city, so we tried not to do very much. And got the underground back through to the King's Cross station, got out, grabbed a McDonald's on the way back to the hotel, bed. Next morning, up early, St. Pancras. If you've never been, guys, the station itself's very old, built with bricks, so it's pretty much fixed in place, and they have just crammed this wee. I know, I spoiled. And I took a train to France, and then we were crammed. No, but you were just crushed into this tiny wee space. So you go through all the security, because you need passports and everything. You know, it's, you've still got to go and x-ray your bags and things, and you know, you can't blow up the fucking Channel Tunnel. Then we got on, everything was fine, went away. I think it was 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours, and we were in Brussels, which, again, in Belgium. There's a train to Paris or a train to Brussels, and then we got a local train, or a Belgian train, from Brussels to Bruges, and that was maybe 45 minutes. And then you arrive there, you cross a dual carriageway. You know, the traffic does stop, so it's like, you know, good luck. You know, there's crossings. And you walk, well, we walked 20 minutes, and I can't put into words how beautiful the place was. It was absolutely so peaceful. You walk away from the train station because it is, you're in like the old part. You know, there's obviously there's a modern city, but you're walking along and suddenly it turns to cobbled streets. And there's no cars. I mean, you can drive through it, but there's not a lot of cars. And it becomes very peaceful. And there's just this overwhelming calm. I mean, we're still walking. At this point, I'm carrying Charlotte's wee suitcase because it's one of these we pull along things, but it's cobbled roads. So ladies don't wear high heels. Or, well, ladies and cowboys, no heels. Cobbled roads. I was carrying the suitcase and it was just, it's like walking in, very cringe. It's like walking into a fairy tale. It's like walking into Hansel and Gretel, but without the fucking carnival, which you're just, it's a medieval city and it's, you know, luckily it wasn't fucking blitzed to bits in the war. So it's remained as it is. And the hotel that we found, this, it was all very last minute, the hotel that we got. Usually when they say, oh, we're right in the middle of the city, you're thinking, yeah, fuck off, no you're not. This one was right in the fucking middle of the city. Like, it was not even a 5 minute walk to the main square, which is called the Market, or the Market, probably translates to the market. So we got to our hotel, once again we were early, but the guy was, no, you can check in early. And, okay, cool, that's, thank you very much. And yeah, fucking Mr. Romance that I am. 20 euro extra, we could get the canal view room. Now, you know, why not? Because we're going on, this is the only holiday we're going to go on all year. So I did. And he gave us a key. He didn't give us a wee card like you get in every other hotel these days. He gave us a key on a massive big metal keyring. Uh oh. And he said, you know, go down the hall, turn right, go down the stairs, and stand there. All right, cool. So we looked for it. We got lost. But we found it eventually. I bet he was watching us on the CCTV. Just, fuck's sake. Found the room. And I wish I'd recorded it because it was, you know, in The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy opens the door of the house and it's all colour. We opened the door to the room and it opened and the carpet was dark red and looked soft and you could just see the corner of the bed, and behind the bed was a big, massive, disused fireplace, but with, like, logs on display in it and things. And then behind that was the windows. And guys, you know, there were those old-fashioned windows with the wee, like, the wee square panes of glass with the black crisscrosses and things. And outside of that was the canal, and we were right down low, right next to it, but there were still the walls and the colours of the trees. Yes, there's no leaves in them or that, but dark brown, and then the red bricks, and then as we walked into the room, you could see more, there's another window! We could see another window, and that gives a view right down, straight down the canal with the wall on the left and the bridge at the end, and just the tiny wee old, just the style of the buildings built along the canal edge. And fucking shit, you know. And then suddenly there was, like, bells chiming. You know? It was like it had been set up. I don't know, the guy upstairs, the receptionist, watching the CCTV. Okay, they're in the room. 3, 2, 1. Press the button. Ding, ding. No, but every 15 minutes, this thing called the belfry, it has the chimes go off. And it just timed out perfectly. So we found the room, put our things away, quick refresh, you know, just, no, bird bath, quick splash, and then we were out and about and we just explored Bruges. It's not a massive city by any means, but it was late afternoon, so we just went straight away. I got some lunch, just a wee, I mean, I, you know, very touristy. I got spaghetti bolognese and Charlotte got an omelette. But I had my first beer, first of 4 or 5, I might have, you know, wasn't going to get pished, but yeah, just a beer, I got coffee, and then we just wandered and explored, and we were there for a few more, you know, 2 days after that, but there was no rush, and it was very, very quiet, because this is the off-season, completely off-season. I wouldn't recommend going in the summer, but I can't say that, because I'm not being in the summer, but I can only imagine it is horrendously packed out, because you can get there from Amsterdam in a day trip. You know, you can, that was you'd see it advertised. I don't know who they were advertising it to because we were there, but I can imagine that's how a lot of Americans do it, because they must travel a fantastically long way to get over to Bruges, and there's a lot of Americans there now. So I can only imagine the summer how bad it must be. But yeah, so horses and carts, that sort of thing. You can get, you can get tours of the horse and carts. Well, not off the horse. This is his leg, this is the cart. Now you can get tours on the horse and the cart. Well, you sit on the fucking, you know what I mean, you sit on the cart. You can get canal tours, but not for the week we were there. They're closed. I'll be honest, a lot of things were closed. I think it saved us a lot of money, and it saved us a lot of wasted time, because if you read reviews, there's a lot of touristy traps. You know, there's a French fry museum, which apparently is a tourist trap. It's a chocolate museum, apparently it's shit. I'm not going to say I was disappointed. There was something I wanted to go and see, and it was closed for this week. It was closed, like, it's closed for a week, and it was closed the 4 days we were there. We visited in that week, and that was, which, crazy enough, we could see from our hotel window. Oh, by the way, you know, like, fucking, like I'm bragging. The hotel room we had, the window, you would see it on some postcards. You know, I don't mean me fucking standing in the shower, you know, scrubbing myself down, but you would see the hotel window. It was like we were in that kind of picture perfect spot. And it was just fantastic. But the thing that I wanted to go and see that we couldn't because it was closed was, during the Crusades, a bunch of guys went abroad and fucked shit up, to put it delicately. Let's not go into the history. But they came back. That was the religious wars. And aren't all wars religious? No. But they came back with, apparently, some of Jesus' blood, as you do. And it stays in this religious building, church in Bruges. And you can go and see it, and you can touch the vial that it's in, because apparently it liquefies every now and again, it dries out and re-liquefies, and, you know, it's Jesus' blood, so it's pretty hardy. Arguably, they could probably open it if it is his blood, get some DNA, do the 21andMe, DNA, Ancestry.com, or clone him, who knows, but, you know, you can go and see it, I don't know, apparently you can touch it and make a wish, say a prayer. That was closed. So, I mean, I'm not even religious, but if there's a chance that's Jesus' blood, that's something I want to see. Way more, I can't even, I'm just trying to give you a very sort of compact what was going on there, guys. And another thing we went to go and see, which was lovely, was, see, I make it sound like a very religious place. It's not, but we went to a, we found a thing on the internet, and it said, go and visit this, it's absolutely beautiful. And we didn't even read what it was. We just went, you know, fuck it, let's go there. So we walked across the city. Small city. You can walk the whole thing. And, you know, like a day trip would be enough. 2 days, ideally. First day to find where you're going. Second day to really make the most of it. But, yeah, we walked down. We found a windmill. And then walked around. And we found the spot that the map, the wee information thing said, go and check it out. It's beautiful. We didn't know what it was. So we just walked into the area. And suddenly there's these signs, like, you know, like a face with a finger up to the mouth being like, shut the fuck up, gotta be quiet here, because this is what the fuck's it called, where monks live, like an abbey. So, alright, okay, cool, monks live here, and there's a massive big, I don't know, church, cathedral, religious temple, and we went in, and it was, like, still used, if you know what I mean. It wasn't a tourist destination, it's an actual one. And there was one lady in there doing her thing, praying silently. So, you know, let's poke around, make some noise. No, we just very quietly went and looked at the horrifying statues of, you know, dead guy nailed to a cross. And it was lovely. Very not really selling it. Again, beautiful. Just the peace, the serenity. As I get older, I've got more appreciation for this sort of what you call boring shit. But no, it's absolutely fantastic. And this wee box to leave a donation. So I gave Charlotte some coins. I put some coins. If that lady hadn't been there, would I have donated? I don't know. And I thought that after we left. I was walking away. I'm like, if you hadn't been there, we'd have to be coins. And what does that make me? Maybe I can't. But no. So, Bruges, guys, I mean, what I'm going to do is I'm going to write up, because I'm a pompous prick, I'm going to do a write-up of the whole thing, of the whole journey, of the whole trip. Because there's a lot going on, I can't do it justice. But if you ever get the opportunity, if you're lucky enough, if you're able, if you're capable, if it's your thing, I can only truly recommend it. It was absolutely beautiful. It's just myself and Charlotte, and it was so peaceful. And they're like, I don't actually sound like some old lady, but it felt so safe. There was no, like, I've been away with Charlotte, and like in Amsterdam, I'm always looking around and just trying to keep my wits about me and stuff like that. But in Bruges, it was just such a sense of peace, you know, and it never felt like anybody was going to come over and ask for something. You know, we were just left alone, and I hate folk talking to me. You know, the absolute worst part of the journey, apart from coming home, was in Gatwick Airport before the flight back up to Inverness. There's always this moment, like, tense moment of, is there going to be somebody I fucking know at the gate waiting to get on the plane? Am I going to have to talk? You know, I don't like, just leave me alone. And so, no, but Bruges, peaceful, safe, lovely food, and I'm not a drinker, but even the beers I had were nice, and, you know, a very good friend of mine, he works at a brewery. I don't know if he's listening. Hello, Liam. He probably isn't. Why would he be? I haven't told him. I haven't told him to listen. I haven't told him he's going to be mentioned. He recommended a wheat beer. Like wheat, like, you know, the barley grain stuff. Apparently Belgians do them very nice. So one of those and they were lovely. And I drank that at a marzipan shop. This little marzipan shop sold beers. So I sat and had a few, I had a pint and a bit of beer, and Charlotte had a hot chocolate and a Coke Zero, and I was in a chocolate shop and I had a fucking bit of a head on. The beer kicked in. So that's my opinion on Bruges. Absolutely beautiful, absolutely recommended. And I'll stop talking about it because I'm sure you didn't tune in just to hear about that. I think we're near the end of this. Now, I don't know if last time you remember me talking about how media has gone digital. You know, they're not releasing DVDs as much as they used to. They're not releasing as many Blu-rays. Videos aren't a fucking thing anymore. Smack the microphone. Videos aren't a thing at all. Got a message from a listener, and I shall read it out. There was no name left at the end, because it was left anonymously. But it says, a visitor has left a comment. Here we go. RE, your discussion about physical versus digital media in your latest podcast episode. It's less to do with the ability to edit things after something's been released, but more to do with the way that if something only exists digitally, then it can be lost forever. This happened to Star Trek Prodigy recently, a show aimed at a younger target audience to get them into the Trek. It was hosted on Paramount Plus, and Season 2 had been greenlit and was almost finished, but then Paramount Plus turned around and said they were cancelling it. Instead of keeping Season 1 on their site, they decided to take it down, and for a while, it wasn't available anywhere at all. They managed to get it out on DVD, and it recently got put on Netflix, who will also host Season 2. If shows like that, or Netflix originals, get taken down, then there's no guarantee they'll never be put on again. If they're not available in another format, be it DVD or even being able to buy a film online instead of subscribing and finding it on a streaming server, then one day it can just vanish. As I said, that was sent anonymously, but thank you very much for sending that in and correcting me. Obviously, I was talking about it being for editing, but no, it's a fantastic point that these things, if they're never released physically? Just made a word. If they're never released physically, if you don't actually hold the copy, then they can be gone. A terrifying concept. But I tell you what, guys, I don't think I have anything else to do, and I try to keep these around half an hour, the shows, so I don't want to be taking you over the time here. So, Sorry for talking so much about Bruges. If you have any questions, I will do my best to answer them. So get in touch. If you have any thoughts on touring in Europe, touring like your fucking rock band, on visiting anywhere in Europe, please let me know, because it's the way our lives are. We don't go on massive big, you know, fortnight holidays three times a year. It's these little sort of weekend, midweek visits away. If you've been to Bruges, what did you think of it? I would love to know. I want to talk to people about it. I want to... Not enough folk speak about it. It's an absolutely lovely place. But I think I'll try and do the write-up and put that on the website somewhere. I might just make a page, blog, travel. So you can get in touch. You can find all the social media stuff. But yeah, if you are going to write in, which like the lovely listener from last week did, thank you very much. It is lovely to get messages. To get in touch, to write in, you go to www.thecrackpodcast.co.uk. It's all one word, one big thing, thecrackpodcast.co.uk. There's a get in touch section on the website. You just fill out the information and it should ping through to my Gmail app that I've got on the phone. So, as always, big thank you to Blackmill for the theme to the podcast, and a big thank you to Cora for the logo for the podcast. I'll leave it there, guys. That's me on track. 3 out of 3. Well, 3 out of 52. But 100% on my goal so far. Try and do a podcast a week. So, until next time, look after yourself. Be good to each other. Don't take any shit. But most of all, just be good. Alright, I'll talk to you next time, guys. Bye for now.